Hi, I'm Leanne Blaney, adventure coach, speaker, and award-winning author. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast, where we are having conversations about what might be holding you back and how to move forward to achieve your dream life. Come along on a journey and set yourself up by having freedom in your choices, becoming grounded and centered, and learn how to speak from the heart. For more information, go to leanneblaney.com. Let's ignite your life. Karen Bonanno believes every young person has the right to be successful. As an accredited global genius educator and leader, in partnership with the Genius School Education Movement and My Genius Incorporated, Karen is passionate about igniting the genius in every child to help them discover their inspiring future. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hi, Leanne. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm really excited to talk about our theme today of genius kids. But first, let's have a bit of a chat about you. What do you actually do? Just tell the listeners what you do and how you got into it.
Well, I'm a youth coach and mentor, working mainly with the tweens, teens, young adults, and then ultimately the parents. The way I got into this is I've been a teacher for probably over 35 years, and then moved into working specifically with providing professional learning for teachers. And then in the last, say, several years, kind of becoming aware that a lot of kids were really needing some help, and so started working in that area to provide them with some element of sort of professional learning for them, which is more about their social and personal development. And so I've been doing that for the last several years, but still doing other things as well, because I've retired from teaching, or resigned from teaching, I guess. But it's been an interesting journey and been very rewarding as well.
Yeah, it definitely sounds that way. And like you were saying that, being a teacher, you're able to identify there's, what issues children might have. Can you tell us about, what sort of age group that you're working with now?
The principals that I talk to in the schools are mainly saying it's the 12 to 15-year-olds. Mm. So they're the ones I've been working with recently. But then when I'm running any programs, I have teachers who come to me who are teaching kids in, say, the upper primary. And they say, gee, we really feel that a program of working with kids needs to happen for younger ages, because we're seeing a lot of the, early onset of what we would say as mental health. And that's the anxiety, feeling overwhelmed, feeling a little bit fearful about things, not feeling comfortable, kind of questioning who they are. There's a lot of social media pressures out there with kids these days, and they've got their mobile phones. They've got all sorts of things that start to send them messages about who they need to be, and they kind of lose sight of where they're going.
I've seen the media talk about things like the pressures that are on adults and that these days, but we tend to forget there's kids, they're under pressure too, aren't they? Because the anxiety levels, I've noticed the anxiety levels of children are going up and up and up, and the things like bullying and that is getting more prevalent, or whether it's maybe not more prevalent, but we're getting more out there. They're getting further afield because of the technology. Are you seeing that as the levels are going up and up and up?
Oh, definitely. But we have to understand that the kids are seeing this in their parents. Mm. And so they're going, mum's saying or dad's saying he's stressed, and they're seeing what's happening. And so they start to think, what's happening to me? I'm stressed. And I actually had one parent say to me, we try not to use the word stress in our household because we don't want that message to go across to our kids. We know they're overwhelmed and we try to help them to cope with it. So they're exhibiting behaviour that might even be evident with their parents because they see that's what's happening around them. And in fact, really, as adults, we are the biggest role model that any child will have.
Yes, yes. And whatever you do, they're noticing and taking it on, aren't they, a lot of the time? Like, you might think you're being okay and being, good in front of them, but they know it. If you're holding back something or holding those emotions inside, or even if you let your anger out there, they're seeing that and they're not knowing what to do with that a lot of the time as well.
No, and they learn behaviour. They see that this is the response you get by behaving in a certain way, and so they start to behave that way.
So that leads us into our theme today is genius kids, which is, it's great to sort of listen about, what's actually going on for them. But knowing there's some sort of program out there or something that's out there helping them is just, it's so positive and I'm loving it. So I just want to talk to you today about genius kids. So do you want to explain what that is first?
Well, when people, you know, when I say to people we run genius camps and we're involved in genius kids, they kind of look oddly at me and go, well, you know, what does that really mean? You know, are you dealing with, and they start to label then. They say, oh, are you dealing with the gifted talent, or are you dealing with, you know, kids with, you know, special learning challenges? And I like to go back to what is really the origin of the word genius. And I don't know whether, you know, listeners have, they follow Rolly Sussex with A Word in Your Ear with the ABC, but I love what he does because he always goes back to the origin of the word when he's trying to help people understand what it might mean. And if we think about the origin of the word genius, way back in ancient Roman times, you know, there's a Latin word that it comes from. And if you think gene, family, the Latin also works on a word of what's called birth, or to procreate, to generate. And what it comes back to is that the, I guess, ancient Roman terminology was that you had a guiding spirit that was present within you right from birth. And it's this innate ability and inclination that you have. And if you think about really young kids, you'll have people say, oh, you know, aren't you a unique little individual? Or they'll say, oh, you've been here before, and all these sort of things. But what happens is, as the kids get older, they start to learn behavior that may kind of snuff out or dampen down their natural genius. And in fact, if we think of the way the term genius has evolved, if we think today, it's more about someone who's got some high IQ, or, you know, intellectual creativity, or they've got some sort of innovative, you know, productive genius, whether it be something mathematical genius or a musical prodigy or whatever. But that's really taken well and truly away from the actual origin of the word genius. And so I always like to go back to that origin and saying, what we have here within every individual, and particularly with the work I'm doing with the genius kids, is they have a natural talent and capability, and we just need to know how to draw it out and help them to become more aware of who they are, to build up their confidence, but then give them some strategies that sort of stay with them for life, that they can then take through, not just for school, but then into their working career, into their family, into their, you know, community. So the term genius kids is really working with the natural talent and capability that every child has, and it's bringing that out and helping them to understand that who they are adds value to every situation.
Yeah, that's definitely beautiful, because I mean, it's something that I write about in my book as well, you know, for adults, is that we've forgotten how to be kids. And it's because that all that beautiful stuff, the creativity that we have, the curiosity that we have as children, for some reason, whether it's school, parents, you know, your social group, even like the media, I think they're actually drawing that out of us and telling us we have to conform, we have to be a certain way, we have to get this type of job. And I think it's a shame, because that beautiful curiosity they had back then does get snuffed out, I feel. Are you finding that, like, now that you're looking at the genius side, which is, you know, it's more than just being gifted, it's more having that creativity, isn't it?
Every child can be creative. I mean, even the kid who's really into the detail and they want all the procedures and structures in place and they want a little to-do list or whatever, they're a genius and creative in their own right. If we think about certain people, if we look at, say, well, even recently, Richard Branson, he had that new space suit on that they're going to use for the first people who, you know, pay $250,000 to fly off into space. He's a natural genius in his own right, in that he comes up with all these innovative and creative ideas. But then he doesn't run all these companies. He has other people who are running the companies and looking after the customer, or out there meeting the people and getting the right people who come on board who want to spend big dollars. And so every person has a part to play, and they bring their genius to his business. And that's why he, you know, he's quite successful. And if we think of all different people, whether they be in the performing arts or whether they be in industries or business, each of them has tapped into their natural genius to be successful at what they are.
Yeah. And it's great that I've been with you when you've been talking to kids and giving them the little quiz to find out what their natural strengths, natural styles are. So do you want to talk a bit about that, how you actually determine or help the kids identify that what they've got inside them is actually a strength, not a weakness?
Well, what we do is there's actually a couple of pathways. What you've seen me do is just a little 5 questionnaire. And it's really funny because when kids do it, or even when they do the more detailed one, I've had kids say to me, oh, this is really spooky. You know me just by asking me 5 questions, or, you know, 25 questions if it's for the longer report. But there are 4 genius types that we start off with. There's first of all the idea smart person. So they're sort of creative and love brainstorming, having all their ideas come to life, and they're really high energy and very active. And then we have the people smart person, who loves to get out there and chat with people and have discussions and debates and storytelling and all that sort of thing. And then we have our senses smart genius, and they're really attuned to where their feelings are and where the feelings of other people are, and they're caring and they're nurturing and compassionate. And then we have our detail smart, who's into all of the details, you know, really wants things down to the nth degree, you know, what is it, dot the I's and cross the T's. Yeah, all of that sort of thing. So each of these 4 genius types has unique characteristics. And when we get the kids to understand that their unique characteristics are their strengths, but there's the flip side of the coin where they've got some weaknesses. So if we think about, you know, the people smart person, they want to chatter away and have a, you know, good conversation with people, but they're not very good at stopping and maybe listening to others, or they may be really not into the detail. Whereas the person who's on the opposite of that, their strength lies in being in the detail and taking their time to do things. So it's really a case of, we try to help the kids to understand that, yes, they've got strengths, and the flip side is they do have some weaknesses, but hey, wait a moment, there's somebody out there who's got the strength that fits in like a big jigsaw puzzle that helps you to be the best you can be, and vice versa. So we teach them some enterprise skills in amongst all of that when we're working with them. Teamwork skills and collaboration. So they understand that the world that they're going into, that's probably going to be more prominent for them when they get into a job or career or, you know, vacation environment, that they're going to have to work together as a team. So we're trying to teach them some skills very early on that they do carry through beyond just the time that we're there with us.
And I've seen a lot of successful people, it is, the success comes from their team around them, isn't it? That they're concentrating on their strength. Like you say, Richard Branson, he's the creative, brainstorming, ideas type person on his business, but he must have somebody with him who's got that detail. He must have somebody who can be that people person as well around him to be successful. And that's not a bad thing, that you don't have to have strengths in every area, is that you can have your team around you, which I can, you know, just imagine telling kids that and getting them to learn that would, you know, boost their confidence a lot.
Yeah, well, they begin to see the value that they add then. Often, sometimes, well, if we think about some of the education structure, it tends to want to focus on, well, you're not very good at math, so let's get you better at that so you get a higher result. But it may well be that that child will really struggle with that because that's not where their natural talent and capability is. And so they'll do well, but they won't excel as someone else might. And it's like anything else. I mean, for instance, if we take the kids who are into the detail, in a classroom environment, they're probably going to be the last one to put up their hand because they want to get the right or the best answer. Whereas the person on the opposite side, the kind of people, they'll go, oh yeah, listen to me, I've got something to say, because they're the ones who want to get up and speak all the time. And then we've got the other genius types as well. We've got the person who is more into their senses. So they may not put up their hand very quickly either, because they're just trying to make sure that they've got the right words and that they'll sound right and they'll feel right, because they're bringing all their multi-senses in there. And so often what happens is they're put in some, I guess, uncomfortable environments where they say, well, you know, they pick on the, you know, the teacher might pick on them and say, oh, so-and-so, do you want to say? And the kid's not ready yet. They need time to think. So there's all the environments where we get them to help them to understand how they can cope with that. And also too, because I also work with teachers, it's helping them to understand that in their classroom, they've got all this, mix and blend of kids who have all different ways that they take in information, and then how they sift and sort it and then communicate it back out. And so they have to, in a certain way, try and accommodate that, which is a bit of a challenge. The teacher too has to understand that they have a preferred way. And even any of us, if we take into business, we've all got a preferred way that we want to communicate within business or family or community. And we have to be mindful of other people, you know, around us.
And I know that's something that I do too. I do the behavioural profiling with a lot of adults and teams and people in business. And it is important, isn't it? Because not everyone will work the same. And if you have a team of all the same type of people, then you might not be getting all your reports done on time because they might be all the people in there. Mm. So it is important to be able to identify. And also, when you're leading those teams, to communicate them, it's really, really important. What I did want to sort of talk about, though, is like you do not just the quizzes for the kids. There's other things, isn't it? There's like genius camps. Tell us about the process of getting a kid interested, getting them to know, and then how they blossom into that person, knowing that they've got strengths.
Well, when we do the genius camps, it's a 2-day and it's a non-residential. So we send them home to their parents at the end of the day, but we usually send them home exhausted. So they're in bed early because we have a full on day every day for the 2 days, but we'll get kids that will come in first of all. And of course they've got mobile phones. They'll all have their heads down and they'll all be focused on their phone because they may not know anybody else in the group. And we get them started with activities which are more kind of icebreakers, just to get to know everybody. They get to know us, we get to know them. And then we kind of use their report, which is the more detailed one. As you said, you do the behavioural characteristics report for adults. Well, we do the same for the kids. And so they have their team dynamics report and that goes into a lot of detail. And we use that as the basis. And as I said, we have kids saying, you know, this is really spooky. You asked me 25 questions and this is so me. But we use that to help them to understand, well, you know, this is who you are. We do a lot of learning challenges. So we build in the STEM activities, the science, technology, engineering, maths activities. And that helps them to get together to work as groups. We have all different fun activities as well. You know, we have dance-offs and team names. And so they begin to see that, well, we see them actually, as they engage more and more in the program, we see them coming out more and more. They feel more comfortable. They feel as if, yes, I'm being appreciated here. I can speak up. My voice is being recognized. And that's one important thing. We get them to set some of the expectations for the camp. And then we look at, well, how do we support each other to achieve those expectations? So we've got them involved and feeling that they're part of the decision-making in the process. And as the camp goes on, we kind of step up the challenges a bit more, which then gets them involved in, you know, critical thinking and problem solving. And in particular on the last day, we focus on thinking global but acting local, and we get them to hone in on what type of projects could they engage in, even in their home or their school or, you know, in their community, that would have an impact or have some influence on the achievement of some of the United Nations sustainable goals. So it's really geared to helping them to first of all show up, as in, you know, who are you really, and getting them to understand that and to appreciate who they are. And then it's step up, which is then focused on being involved in teams and knowing that you have a part to play. And with our teams, as you say, we try and get a blend of them so that we don't get, you know, all the ideas smart people who want to backslap themselves and think they're great and within 5 minutes they've changed their mind and moved on to the next thing. So we mix the teams up so that they've got a rounded, what we call a rounded team. And this way then, you know, we get them then focusing on that giving back. And the giving back is that focus with United Nations Sustainable Goals, that you as a young person do have something to contribute to achieving those particular global issues just by what you can do locally. And we actually involve people within the community where we hold the camps. We also have a time with the parents. So when the kids are putting their pitch together, I'm working with the parents for about 2 hours. To help them to understand their little geniuses, but also to help the parents understand their genius. And we have interesting discussions there because all of a sudden you have the aha moment where the parent goes, oh, so that's why we have these arguments at home. You know, I'm out there networker, people chatter, love the social thing, and my kids into being very detailed and wants things in order and wants a schedule. And I'm kind of, a bit off my brain a bit. And we have, we have some struggles about when things need to happen and so forth. So it helps them to understand. And we have fun too. We don't get too serious about it. We have, I don't know whether you've seen the sorting hat scene in Harry Potter.
Oh, yes, I love that.
So that's our sorting hat. We get the kids to guess which genius their parent is, and we have this sorting hat. So we put the hat on the parent and we go, ooh, and which genius do you think your mum is or your dad is or, whoever. They might have brought an auntie or even a grandparent, so whoever the person is that they brought along. So we have a bit of fun with the parents as well.
And I imagine the ripple effect of just, these kids then going out and communicating better with other kids and having better relationships within their family can actually only just improve what's actually happening on in the world. And as you say, doing things globally is opening their eyes to a lot of things, isn't it, that maybe they wouldn't see before.
Yeah, well, we get kids like from the first camp we did, two of them were appointed as their school leaders within a couple of months of coming to the camp.
Wow.
For the next camp I'm actually inviting some of the genius campers from previous camps back because I want them to step up into a more of a leadership helper role. And I've had parents say, they still talk about the camp that they went to. So that's really a good feedback and a good feeling for me. But it's also magic to know that there is a difference. There's something that's lasted longer than just a few moments of, fun for 2 days. They actually continue to talk about their experience.
Yeah. Well, I absolutely love talking about this with you, but we've only got a certain amount of time. If there's listeners out there who want to get their kids involved or just want to know more about it, where can they actually contact you?
Well, the information about the Genius Camps is simply at geniuscamp.com.au. Or they can go to my website, which might be easier to understand, and that is www.kb.com.au.
Oh, I love it. And I recommend everyone gets out there and looks at it because I just love this type of thing and I think it's so empowering for our kids. So thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks, Leanne. Been fun.
Igniters, you can hear the passion in Karen's voice about helping these kids find their natural talent so they can build their confidence and give them purpose and direction. If you want to contact Karen, go to her website www.kb.com.au. For finding out more about your signature behavioural style as an adult, you can contact me at www.leanneblaney.com.